As we come to the Word of God this morning, let me remind you that we have no children's worship for this morning, so little ones, hang in there, sit tight, and listen up, because we have the Word of God opened up before you, and I believe at all ages there's something for little ones to learn. So this morning we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be working our way through the first 15 verses, and actually I'll be referring to most of this chapter. I've entitled the message this morning, The Hall of Faith, and that's because oftentimes that's a nickname or a title that's given to this chapter in referring to this great cloud of witnesses, as the writer of Hebrews calls them in the beginning of chapter 12, this group of faithful ones who have gone before us, commended simply and solely for their faith and the examples of faith that they have left for us. So let's look this morning at Hebrews chapter 11. And let me read to you, as I read you this, remember, this is God's holy and inerrant word given to us for our benefit and for His glory. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country not looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. This ends the reading of God's word for the glory of God and the good of his people. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We know that it brings to us light. And that light is the light of life. We pray, Lord God, that you would shine that light in our hearts, that we would see our own sin, our own lack of faith. And Father, you would use your word this morning in conjunction with the power of your Holy Spirit to work a great work in our hearts today, that we would leave here changed because you have met with us and because you've used your word to these ends, to make us more and more like Christ, molded and fashioned in his image. Father, do this for us, not because we deserve it, but because you promised to do this, that your word would not return void, but it would accomplish what it set out to do. Father, as you do this for us, bring us to the place where we can bring you the praise and glory and honor that you deserve. For we pray, Lord God, that you would make us people of faith. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let me ask you this question. What has been, if you would look back over your life, as you were to consider all of the opportunities that you've had in your life, what would you say has been your greatest leap of faith? Some of you are thinking about the day you got married. Some of you are thinking about other things that may or may not have really taken true Christian faith to enable you to do. But as I look back over the span of my life, I know of a couple instances, a few instances really, where it took a huge leap of faith for me to respond and do what God was calling me to do. And I do think one of them was the day that I got married. I think not because my wife was something that was scary or anything, but I was young. I was, 20. Let's see, when I asked Cindy to marry me, I was, I think we had just turned 20, or I was 19 or something crazy like that. But I was convinced, absolutely convinced, that this was the woman I was to marry. And that convincing had come, I believe, in a supernatural way. Now, I'm not a big fan of, dreams and visions and things like that, but I'm telling you, I had an overwhelming sense, a presence in my heart and in my mind that told me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this was the right thing to do. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't quantify it, but it was there. And I just hung on to it, and lo and behold, God knew what he was doing. And so even though we were just 21 years old, the Lord has blessed us, and we've had so far really a great marriage, and just keeps getting better and better and better. But not long after we were married, we had a couple other opportunities to take leaps of faith that the Lord kind of threw out before us. I had just received a big job promotion at work. I was just been moved into the engineering department at the United Parcel Service. They were offering me a contract of more money than I could ever imagine, at that young age. My goodness, I'm going to live high on the hog. I get to drive a Ford Taurus SHO and buy a brand new house. I was really excited. I had already planned where I was going to spend the money. And at the same time, the Lord had opened up an opportunity for us to go to seminary. Now, I was not crazy, so I hedged my bets, and I lined up a job with UPS down in Orlando, Florida, before we moved. And lo and behold, just before we were to move, UPS workers went on a strike, and that deal had to be canceled. So we packed up everything and moved to Orlando, Florida, without a job, without any promise of income, with really little hopes that things were going to work out well, except that we believed, without a doubt, God had called us. And I think, I've told this story many times, but I think in the 3 years that we were down in Orlando, Florida, when we filled out our tax returns, the most money we ever made in any one year was like $12,200. We were literally living off of, nickels and dimes and pennies when we were down there. But God blessed us. I've got funny stories of eating cans that they were throwing out of the, they would throw out the old cans from the supermarkets, that had no labels on them. So it was kind of like a surprise. You're not sure what you're going to get in there. So that's a long time ago. Boy, that's another life. But it was a glorious time. We enjoyed it because we were living by faith. And the Lord had called us to it. But I think, without a doubt, the greatest leap of faith that Cindy and I ever had to exhibit was when we decided to come and plant this church. Because we had finally gotten through seminary. I had actually had a job as an associate pastor. They were paying me well. I had a house. I can remember driving in the first time when I hit the button and a garage door opened up. It was my garage. And I pulled a minivan into the garage. I'm thinking, man, I have made it. I got a minivan and a house with a garage door opener. At that moment, just when things looked like they were all lining up, God started doing the same thing he did before. He started plucking my heart and started reminding me that there was something else yet to do. And he gave the same sense to Cindy. And I remember hearing a sermon when we were at General Assembly one year about church planting and about the need for pastors. And I got a job. I'm a pastor. I'm an associate pastor. I like this. Pittsburgh's a good place to live. And everybody's going, boo, right, the Steelers. But all of a sudden, one thing after another started lining up where God was calling us to lead that. And when we came down here, we had a great core group who were filled with wonderful people, but they had basically given away all the money that they had for church planting back to Annapolis EP Church for their building fund. So there was no money in the pot, no promise that we would actually have all the money that we needed to make the thing go, much less pay my salary. Our house wouldn't sell in Pittsburgh. We had to live with my in-laws for 6 months. But before all that happened, Cindy and I made the leap. Before we even had met the core group, before we even had one job offer, let me read to you a letter that I have kept since June 17, 1997, when I wrote this. I said, "For the last year or so, my heart has been broken as I've heard of core groups and young churches struggling for a lack of a pastor. God has blessed me, and I've learned beyond my expectations to grow in the areas of preaching and teaching. It's become more and more clear to me that I could be used more effectively elsewhere. While we praise God for his leading in this most difficult decision, we believe our time at Providence is coming to an end." That was the name of the church we were at. "Cindy and I have committed to this decision, and we've committed it to prayer, and we've asked others to do the same. We praise God that we have all come to the same conclusion. I can be used more effectively in ministry if I left to pastor a church, and Providence could be better served by someone with gifts different than mine. We are at the very beginning of this process and have not decided upon a church, but we knew we wanted to share this with you all. We wanted to let you know because we covet your prayers as we petition God to direct our paths. The writer of Hebrews, see, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This passage strikes a chord with me. We don't know where God wants us to go, but we feel sure he is calling us to pastor a church. And so we're stepping out in faith to the degree that our destination is yet unknown to us, and yet we still plan to leave Providence by the end of the summer. Now, when I wrote that in June of 1997, I was absolutely sure God would provide for us. When September of 1997 rolled around, I was scared to death. We still didn't have a bona fide job offer, and we were leaving. We had basically, this is unheard of in the church planning world or in the church world. You usually line up your job first, and then you say, bye, everybody, and off you go. We said, bye, everybody, we don't know where we're going. But it reminded me of Abraham. And it was something that God had placed on our hearts. So I'll come back to the question that I started with. What has been your greatest leap of faith? Have you found in your life a time or a place, or maybe you're right at it right now, where you sense God is calling you either to leave something or to join something or to go do something or to engage in something. And yet it seems so far off, so difficult. What I want to lay before you this morning, and hopefully it won't take that long to do, is the commendation of these faithful ones who have gone before us. The whole point of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is to call people to faith, is to say, we are not those, it follows on the end of chapter 10, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and are being saved, who are saved. So what does it look like for those who are saved and are being saved to live by faith? What does it look like in your life? What does it look like in my life? Well, let's, before we answer that, look at what it looked like in the lives of these faithful ones who went before us. The first thing that I want to challenge you with is this call to confidence. Even before they exhibit faith, there's a